The Crash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DirtyParts.com
and GH Graphics and their Junket Apparel line.
The 2015 Bash for Cash and Smashy Demolition Derby. Bull Lockwood Motorsports and the 2015 Keystone Nationals.
Napa Winter Slam 2015.
And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to an early edition of the Crash Course here on the last Monday of 2014. Brian Tompkins joining me here in studio. Brian, thanks for coming. There's Brian right there. When I talked to Jim about this new system, he likens it to playing a video game. And it kind of is like playing a video game, only need about six hands to do it. And still not the most fluid at it. But that was a good look at Sean Gokenauer's tire. The good news for Sean Gokenauer is Levi was born today.
Sean and Kim, their second son. Congratulations.
Making his rounds today and sharing some photos of Levi. Good size kid.
Yep.
At 19.34 inches, which I believe that makes the baby taller than Sean right away.
And he was definitely the proud papa. He sent some pictures, and I texted him congratulations, and he said he appreciated it, and said that mama and baby are doing well, so congratulations.
That's
and
good. Very good. Very good. Early start to the Crash Course tonight because there is a basketball game that's going to be on Finger Lakes 1. We got to be out of here about 5:30 or so, so we figured we'd get the early start time. Ben Haast, we had a chance to catch up with him a little bit yesterday. He's recovering well, doing much better, getting around much better than probably any of us expected him to be getting around at this point. But we also know that Ben's got a pretty high tolerance for pain and discomfort too. So that's not too much of a surprise. So good to know that he's getting better. He wasn't able to join us tonight after he had a little bit of a busy weekend. Finally got out to one of the basketball games to go see Hunter play.
And, yeah, I think he saw Hunter's team won a JV tournament. I believe Ben was able to make the both games. So he's getting to get out a little bit more.
Yeah, he ventured out into the real world for the first time in 3 weeks, and it took it out of him. Interesting to learn that there is no Mountain Dew in the near future for him.
I'm pretty sure that PepsiCo is probably going to have to lay off a shift. But, it was great. I hadn't seen Ben since the day of the surgery, and I saw him that night, and he got up, moved a little bit then, and he was he was definitely moving a little slower than usual, but it was great to spend time with him yesterday and get out and just shoot the breeze. I mean, we haven't really had a chance to hang out and talk. He hasn't been up since the week before the surgery, actually.
The day before the surgery.
Yeah. It was the week before.
I thought he missed the show, and then he was in surgery the next day.
Yeah, well, so it was the week before was the last time he was here. So we hung out, and it was just good. We got together with Josh and hung out and did some talking and got some cool stuff coming up, I believe, and
hashed out some good stuff. I mean, it was a good talk. It was a conversation that needed to be had.
Of course, we watched football. We did, and I found out that Josh is a Falcons fan, which I now know two Falcons fan in the world, and Josh's girlfriend Kate. I mean, I knew there was something, sort of wrong, because, I mean, she's with Josh to begin with, and she's a Dallas Cowboys fan, so we can't be friends anymore, but.
I was afraid where you were going with this.
Thank you, Katie, for the hospitality and putting up with us all, and she got us pizza, and she was a great hostess, so thank you for letting us take up your living room for the afternoon. We really appreciate that.
I don't even make eye contact with Katie, because I don't want to upset anybody.
You said it, I didn't.
I did. I did say that.
But it was cool. Josh was sitting in Josh has the man reclining chair underneath his trophy buck that hangs on the wall. So he's got a nice little corner of himself down there. It's pretty nice.
With all the shotguns in reach.
He looks like he might have planned it out when they moved the living room around.
And there was a window right there, too.
Yeah, pointing towards the shop. So, if you guys want to mess in the shop, you may want to reconsider that. Just saying.
Josh let his guard down for a few minutes there yesterday, and his car was tagged.
Well, that's a funny story. Anybody that is friends with me on Facebook may or may not have seen, there's a picture of Josh's 68 Newport. And we were in the shop right before we left, and Ben and Josh were talking about, you know, who, why they do this or why they do that on the build and this and that. And Josh had sprayed some stuff on his car. He just dunked, he didn't want it to rust. And Chris goes, "Hey, I dare you to take that can of paint and sneak over to the other side of the car and put your number on
Actually,
it."
Actually, let's make sure the wording was right. I said, "Wouldn't it be funny if?"
Oh, okay.
I did not dare.
That's close
anybody.
To dare.
No,
that's close to dare.
I did not dare.
So me being me, I grabbed the black spray paint and put a 68 on the door face of Josh. And it took him a minute, and he's like, "Dude, I wasn't going to paint that." So now it's painted. But
well, it's just marked with a year, that's all.
Just no, close. Year, my number.
It's marked with Chris Furster's number.
Well, yeah, Chris, we share a number. We share a number.
marked with most of Kenny Rosno's number.
Yeah. Jeremy Gulley.
Jeremy Gulley, I saw he made mention of it, too.
Yeah, throw another cool. 8 in there. But that was a
throw
good day.
Throw another 6
in
there. Yesterday. 686.
I thought it was 688. Let's see what happens when I think. That's why you're the Rain Man of Derby and I'm not.
I was pulling stuff out yesterday.
You were?
Didn't even know I knew it.
You were, but you did.
I did. It was neat.
It was
interesting year. I mean, it was fun to get together and have that conversation. We're a lot of, you know, one of the main topics was where we're going to be going next year. Winter Slam, obviously, that's coming up soon. February 2nd will be the kickoff to the 2015 season, and here that is only about what, 4 weeks away. I saw somebody was talking a little bit online. I don't remember what driver it was, though, was asking what tire compound they should run.
Terry Evans.
Yes, Terry Evans, yep. Was asking what tire compound they should run up at Winter Slam. Blizzax or whatever other options he was putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Blizzax doing okay last year.
I talked with Kenny Rosno and Sam Bandel both, and you know we kind of went back and forth, and they said what they thought, and I said what I thought. And you know it'll be neat to see, because I think – I definitely think that, you know, there was a few guys last year that definitely made a very good tire choice because they were moving around better than anybody else. You know, we'll see what happens. I would definitely go for a fewer ply tire and less gear. I mean, you don't want to run a – you got that over there?
Yep.
You good?
Shut that off.
You definitely don't want to be running your short dry track gears on a frozen track, but – you know, again, all in all, you know, we've said it a bunch of times, but that's a great show. I'm here to tell you, if you're in the area, come out and watch. It's going to be worth it. Every class is hard hitting and fast paced, and you know, it's. I'm looking forward to see what the new truck class is going to be like.
Pull,
because I mean, if they drive them, which I'm sure they will, like they drove.
It's going to be twisted.
Yeah, there's going to be junk made quickly up there. So, and Randy's dad will be running.
Yes.
We asked him at Blizzard Bash. He said, well, you know,
I don't know.
We don't know for sure. And then, I don't know, it was a week later, and they had a Mopar pulling it in the, and he goes, the downside is we sold all our Mopar stuff. So he had a thing up here a week ago. He's looking for some, I think it was forward dump headers to put on it. And so I told him he's, the truck's got a Magnum motor in it. And I said, that thing will scream. We, you know, Josh and myself have become
hopefully
converts to the Magnum motors this year, and
hopefully it's somewhere around 29 degrees out.
Heat wave. You know what though, and I've said it also is I didn't think it got bad till the sun went down.
Mm-mm.
Really, I mean, there wasn't a we're down in a.
The problem is that close to the North Pole and being down in river bottom, the sun set at 3 o'clock.
we were in a river bottom, so. You know, the wind wasn't a factor. Randy's crew did an awesome job getting rid of snow. You know, it was
for a week.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was just, you know, it's.
There's plenty of room to park, and nobody got stuck in the mud.
Yeah,
even though you had all the cars driving over to the same surface. Nah, there's snow.
No, yeah, that permafreeze it held pretty good. And, you know, the track got a little greasy on top, but I'm really looking forward to that show. I mean, there's no better way to start off the year than being in Minnesota watching a derby in February. I mean, that is just. It's awesome, really, truly awesome.
And then we're going to turn around and we're going to get right back into it May 9th with the stock show at Brookville. And we're going to turn around in June 6th. We sort of came to...
Is this the announcement, ladies and gentlemen?
What?
Is this the official announcement?
No, we got into the conversation about Bash for Cash.
Oh. Wow.
It was Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a...
What?
I skipped a show, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then we talked a little bit more. We gotta finalize it, and I know we've talked a lot about this and going to Drive for Five.
Yep,
What?
Nothing. You guys definitely did talk about Drive for Five last night.
A lot. There was a lot of conversation about that, and I know Rick Harrington is we've talked with him a lot about it too, and we talked about it with him last year, and now they've relocated their show back to the week after Memorial Day, so that'll be ahead of anything that comes up in June, and yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. I think it'll be cool if we end up getting everything put together. And I mean, it's an outstanding show. Last year that show was tremendous. And Jimmy Johnson's very intimate with that show. And it's one
that's
of them.
That's the Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, yeah. Not
that guy that runs NASCAR. This is the
no, not
Jimmy
the guy that
Johnson.
Turns left. It's the guy that goes forward into things.
Yeah, the Jimmy Johnson.
We saw him invert a bumper this year. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's neat.
That was a lot of fun. You didn't go to Hot Springs, right?
No,
you didn't
no.
go to.
I missed some of the tour you guys had.
Oh, what a year it was.
Work and stuff.
And we put together the finishing touches on June 6th. I think that we're going to be pay-per-viewing Kings of Old School.
Where?
In Whitney Point.
What show is that?
The one that we spent a whole show talking about last week.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I think that'll be awesome. You know, get some guys in the Northeast, you know, out there a little more.
Well, there's going to be people from all over coming to the Northeast, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I really, truly think this is, you know, it's going to be the show to see in New York State this year. That's my prediction.
Yeah.
I'm going on a limb. I think it's a pretty safe one, though.
You think it'll be better than the State Fair?
It's going to be tough. I mean, to go up there and, you know, watch bumper cars for 15 or 20 minutes, that's an incredible show also. But, you know, I just think, you know, with Josh and Brett haven't let me in on all the secrets. Actually, they haven't really let me in on many. But
what do you know that?
But with the work they're putting into it, and knowing Josh and Brett like I do, I definitely think they're gonna, you know, they're gonna do what it takes to make this show successful. You know, the great inspecting crew. You know, some of the, you know, they mentioned the Mad Dog Award last week, which is, I mean, that's just great. I think it's going to be it. I think it's going to be the show in New York State 2015. If you're close, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio, I think it'd be worth it. You know, come on out, give it a watch. It's not going to, you know, it's not a super heavy build.
You forgot a bunch of places: Massachusetts, Vermont,
well,
New Hampshire.
Yeah, I mean, you know, those places also. You know, I definitely think, you know, come on out this way and check it out. I think it's going to be the show to see.
And then from there, later on in the month, we're going to do the Keystone Nationals. At the end of June, and then from there it jumps right into the fair season, and the fair season still wide open in terms of what's going to happen. We're still waiting for final rule announcements from Seneca County. We're still waiting on any pending changes that might happen at the Ontario County or at the Otsego County fairs in terms of rules and structure with that. We haven't gotten any. There's been nothing about nothing public about Yates County. I know there's some stuff that's being worked on down there, which the fair season is going to be just as much fun up here as the at-large season. August ends up being a heavier travel schedule. This year didn't quite pan out the right way, just with all the stuff that came up and really, really made August a challenge for everybody. I anticipate we'll probably be back on the road in August, and we've already had talks with the folks in Wadena about going out there and maybe working on two shows, doing the Friday before in Bird Island, and then doing or just going and
which
and
is the possibly, show Josh ran in,
yeah, or possibly going and visiting one of the builders' compounds up there. But again, that's all the way out in August. I mean, that stuff is all based off of what we've already done through the course of this year. We in January we were in Sturgis, in February we were in Sturgis, Kentucky. Then we were in
Hot Springs, Arkansas.
We were in Minnesota first.
Oh, Minnesota, you're right. You're right. Yep.
We were in Garden City, Minnesota in February. We were in, we did the Derby Banquet, which we're going to be doing again next year on the 28th of February. From there, we went to Hot Springs, Arkansas. And I mean, from there, it just took off like a rocket. Yep. We had Pete Hansen was out there at Spring Explosion. We weren't at that show.
What? Didn't you guys do a DA show?
Yeah, Razorback Rumble in Hot Springs.
Yeah, that's what it was. My bad.
That was the one.
My bad. So this is the question, to throw it out there. We already mentioned Keystone Nationals. Do you think Pete Hansen defends his title? Do you think
it's
he'll
a good
be
question? It's a real good question. You know, I don't know, given that he's trying, I mean, he's made no secret with the fact that he's trying to sell some equipment off and almost looks like he's trying to get out of the sport. But, I mean, Derby's one of those things where it seems like when it's done with you, you can leave, but otherwise, you're in it.
You're stuck.
And I don't know. I mean, here's what I would hope to see is he goes and tries to defend his championship. There's the conversation we had with Bo last week is there's 9 states represented on the entry list for their stock program May 9th already.
Yeah.
Most of the common group of Bo Lockwood builders haven't registered a car for that yet.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean? Doesn't necessarily mean anything. Doesn't mean that they will. Doesn't mean that they won't. Just means they haven't yet. I would like to see him build one of those cars. That would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be
to watch that car go through inspection. That would be a ball. I mean, we've seen what he can do when he's given a heavy build set of rules, and he can sit there and analyze what it is. Now here it is, much stocker build, and we've talked a lot about how the stock build does sort of put it more into the driver's hands because mm-hmm. you don't have all the other stuff that's going to make the car. It's not going to give you the advantages in the car, you know, with pressures and reverse pressures and braces and stuff like that. I think it'd be a lot of fun to see what he rolls in with.
Yeah, that would be cool. And I mean, that's the thing, though. I mean, that's kind of what Pete started out in. I mean, he started out, you know, we've touched on it.
But who didn't?
He started out small.
You know, who didn't start with those?
You're right. But you know what, though? I mean, there are some kids that haven't. Logan Duvall. Logan Duvall jumped right in. 17 years old, building pro mods.
That's true. That is true.
I mean, there's today. I think kids today are starting out. The more serious kids are, in my humble opinion, are starting out on more of the heavier builds.
Right.
Because it almost seems like that's what's more in vogue at the moment. You know.
Sure.
To a point. I mean, obviously, you know, there's some very very well, you know, good paying stock shows. You know, Metal Mayhem, Bone Stock, basically. You know. Bo's having the good paying bone stock stock show, Kings of Old School. I mean, there's obviously that demand, but I think a lot of the kids that are in it and that are serious are getting into building the VIX and stuff like that with the you know protectors and pressures and
geographically. I'll agree with you geographically. I don't think that the bulk of the newcomers to the sport, especially in our area, are jumping into that. They're jumping into mid 90s. Midsize and compacts, Buick Century, stuff like that. There are certainly a portion of the youth movement, especially in the Midwest, that have got the opportunities and the resources to go jump in at that level. Mm-hmm. They can build those tilted Fords. They can build the hard, I don't know, lack of a better term, Ohio style cars that you see in mm-hmm. the 80s class. It shows like. Blanked on totally Razorback Rumble that you see at Bash for Cash that you saw in the team program, which were so prevalent at Blizzard Bash. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're right. You know, I'll go with you on that.
Yeah, it's you know, but I mean, it's you know, it's I think the Derby is definitely alive and well. You know, you hear some people keep talking about how it's dying. And I don't think it's dying.
Again, I think that's an accurate statement regionally. It's a geographic interpretation.
I don't really see anywhere that it's dying though. I mean really if you think about it, I think Derby's pretty strong everywhere. I mean it may not be, you know, a full size class anymore, but I mean it, you know, there's compacts and trucks and you know, I think as a whole it's a pretty healthy sport and I definitely think it's growing and there's room to grow. You know, hopefully we can help it do that also. But, you know, I think we're all right the way we're going. And I think what I'm seeing this year is I think it's helping and that, you know, some guys, you know, don't want to do the big builds. They don't want to put that kind of time into it. So there is places where they can build, you know, a little lighter build. And
we've been talking about that for a year.
Yeah,
about how that divide is getting deeper and deeper, and now there's people that are picking, mm-hmm. and they've got opportunities that are just as that they have just as much return when they're going the way of the stock build versus the heavier stuff. We've talked to Chad Dyer's one, where he talked about that he's almost got has more fun building one or two cars and running them a couple times. The Quinslers, when we talked to them, mm-hmm. they said the same thing.
Yep.
Build one or two cars and run them a bunch of times versus, you know, and I don't remember who put the post on Facebook where you can spend $5,000 and build
Joker.
One car. Yeah.
Joker did it.
So you know the post I'm talking
about. Yeah,
I was just going to
bring that up.
You can spend $5,000 and build one car and run it five times, or you can spend $1,000 five times and run each of those cars once. At the end of the day, you still spent the same amount of money.
Yep. And and obviously Joker did that just to, you know, kind of, you know, get the subject going and see what people thought. But, you know, I mean, I was actually talking to him, to Joker, the other night about it. And, you know, that's someday, you know, like I told him, someday before I'm done, I'm going to run Bash for Cash. That's the one I want to go to and I want to run. You know, I just think it'd be cool to go out there and just stand in the gas and drive into the, you know, do some wagon junking. You know, it may take two hits.
You're gonna go for broke in the big classes. Yeah, you're going to turn back old iron.
And, you know, I mean, that's my goal. But, I mean, right now it's, you know, I'm not there to where I can do that yet. So it's cool for me to have a show, you know, like
Brett
has.
Why are you looking at me like that? We're not going to make that public.
We're
in two different places.
We're not going to make that public yet.
You are having a conversation in your head that I'm not part of.
You don't want to make that public yet?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Because my other clients, Tom Dowd, Dan Bolton, and Josh Decker.
Mr. Decker would be. If they don't know, I heard him. But, you know. That's the thing. I mean, it's, you know, it's definitely out there. And I mean, you know, like, you know, Joker promotes in North Carolina, and his shows are, you know, basically, I haven't read the rules, but from, you know, a little bit I've talked to him about it.
Oh, yeah, we're booked for 2016. He already told us we have to come.
That's fine, because we go down there and I get a tour SHR. I've already been promised. So, you know, it's cool that, you know, that those builds are, because, I mean, that's, you know, I'm an old dude, so now I like watching the old iron get bent. That's what I grew up on. And that's the thing is, you know, I read that, and I didn't comment on it, but, you know, I'm sorry, Buell, but growing up at Waterloo, we expected our cars to be junk in one run. It didn't matter if they were a $25 car or a $1,000 car. It was going to be junk in one run because that's how they get run down there.
There wasn't any forethought of second runs.
No. No, never.
That wasn't in the DNA of the event.
No.
That wasn't even a thought.
So, I mean, that's, you know, and that's just me personally. You know, you bring one
home.
When
I was a kid growing up watching that, there was only one derby on the planet, and it was in Waterloo.
Sorry.
Those cars ran that night, and then they got destroyed, and everybody brought new stuff back. So when the same car from the previous year came back, in my mind, at the age of 5 and 8 years old, that car was cheated. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Wasn't there usually a family from Chemung that would bring the cars back?
Yeah, it was Mark Benjamin and his family. Yeah, that's who.
All right, I just wondering.
I believe that's who you referenced.
Good evening, Mark. How are you, buddy? Nice to hear from you again. But
it's like, that car's been here the last 9 years.
You know what's funny is his dad had a 65 Imperial, and he called it Old Blue, and he won Waterloo like 6 years in a row with that thing. And I don't know if they would run it anywhere else or just win Waterloo and take it home and put it in the weeds and then bring it out the next year and win. But it was funny, and we
asked George Braun about that car.
No, it was funny. We, you know, we Mark and I started out kind of as rivals, and we've become great friends. Mark's a good dude, and I went down there and we spent a day just watching old Derby videos of Waterloo. And you know, it was funny. He's like, "Remember my dad talking about Little Blue?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "There it is," and it'd go out there and just junk stuff. But you know, that's what I grew up with. It was, you know, one run and done. I mean, you know,
I think everybody did.
As I've gotten older, I mean, you know, you can, you know, out of necessity, I think I've learned, okay, I can patch this up and, you know, try to get a heat out of it. You know, it's rare that I expect. I haven't tried to run a car in, you know, 2 years straight, heat and feature. This year with my Caddy, I ran Kuka Clash and then heat and feature and then rebuilt it and took it to Waterloo. But, you know, usually they're junk after one, so we're kind of used to that, but. Part of the game, I guess.
So what did you learn from this year? I mean, you got to go around and see a bunch of different shows. What stands out?
How great of a group of people there is in Demolition Derby.
Yeah.
I think is the one thing. You can, you know, from the internet and We Crash and stuff like that. I mean, you can kind of see how cars are built and how they hold up and stuff like that, you know, but also by doing that, you start to know of people, you know what I mean? You've heard of, you know, of, Troy Tagg, you've heard of, Bobby Brockway, you've heard of, Dave Garden, Jeremy Garden, you know, Jason Brodzinski and Ryan Songaluski. You've heard of all these guys, you know, and to actually get out there and meet them, it was great. I was, you know, just everywhere we went, people were very, you know, very, very, welcoming, very happy to see us, you know, come out and talk. And it was just cool. I mean, let's be really honest.
It was weird.
It was weird. And that's the thing is I was talking to Danny Ort the other night, either Daniel or it might've been Kenny Rosno. And you know, we were talking about going back to Winter Slam. I said, oh, it's a great Derby to watch. I said, yeah, and it's good to, you know, meet new people. And I said, you know, I said, it's still kind of weird to go to a Derby and have people know us. And he goes, oh, yeah, it's definitely, you know, definitely different. And, you know, he mentioned the podcast. And he mentioned, you know.
Remember Decker.
Yeah, that was Daniel before the show. Yeah. That was awesome. But, you know, it's just, you know, the people have just been so great this year. You know, I expected the Derby to be great, and it was, you know, for whatever, you know, work reasons and personal reasons, I couldn't make the tour as you, Josh, and Ben did. But, you know, I made it to the two biggest derbies.
What I learned is 5 hours in the car is not that long.
No, cruising to Ohio for Bash for Cash wasn't that bad. But I also learned that the planes we flew to and from on to Blizzard Bash were kind of small, but. That's, you know, what'd you learn this year?
I learned that the community is very supportive of everybody. I mean, I know that's a blanket statement. I'll clarify it a little bit. I learned that Rick Englehart was a lot more loved than he ever knew, and it was really cool to see him him recognized and honored the way that he was with his roof sign
everywhere.
Being on, yeah, everywhere. I mean, there was yellow 33s all over the place, which was really good to see after July, and how much, especially at the bigger shows, how much everybody was willing to help one another. I mean, look at the endeavor that the WFO team had to take on to get their cars back together for the qualifying team B Main, or what Sam Bandow had to do to get his car ready, or even what Brodzinski and Songaluski and Rick Clark and Pete Hansen had to do in order to get their cars ready to come out and take part at Blizzard Bash. And we saw that all summer long in different places, the battles and uphill challenges that some of the teams faced when we were up in Wadena. Same thing for all the guys that had to adjust to the interpretation of the transmission rules when we were in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Just about everybody, every time we were out, had the chance to run. Whether it was the class that they wanted to run in, or in Jason Brodzinski's case, he took his car and went the other way instead of cutting it apart. He added metal to it, went out and ran with the modifieds.
Well, he started cutting it apart, then he went, nah, I got a better idea.
Yeah, well,
they hauled in some steel, and
well, they
which
just,
was awesome.
They just used the steel from the other cars. But, you know, that was something that was really refreshing to see. It wasn't the same as what our area is all the time. Our area is very protective of what they've got, and I know if that's just the haves and have-nots battling back and forth with each other or what that is, because we run into the same thing in modified racing all the time where you've got tarps and velvet ropes and you can't go past this point without a VIP pass kind of thing.
Yep.
And it was good to see. And also, like what you were saying, with the sport being in a healthy situation, there's definitely pockets where car counts are dwindling. There's pockets where they're just not drawn well, but that's a product, I think, somewhat of the drivers understanding what is and isn't a good Derby. Mm-hmm. They're not going to the places where the drivers aren't taken care of. There's certainly
as they should be.
There's certainly a hierarchy, a pecking order, if you will, of good show versus bad show, and they're going and they're supporting those good shows. We saw 500 plus entries go through in the various divisions, from Power Wheels up through the average cost of a car of $7,500 in some of the top end weld divisions at Bash for Cash.
I thought we figured it higher than that.
We probably did. I think the $7,500 was a figure of the average cost of everything front to back. But even still.
But that, you're right, and I didn't think of that. But it, there's definitely a lot more open, and that's, you know, we've touched on that also. But I think that once you get to the premier derbies, I think everybody kind of figures, okay, we basically have the same stuff. You know, you may not have a guard motor, but you have a motor that you feel is comparable. You know, you may not have a Hoffmeister engine cradle, but you have something you feel is comparable. You know, everything kind
of. You see Hoffmeister's doing a couple shows this year?
Really?
Yeah, they're involved with two shows out in their
It was in your magazine.
Go ahead. Finish the shameless plug.
No, it was. That's where I read it.
We are here during Finger Lakes One's regular business hours, so if we get a couple phone calls.
But, you know, what my thought was to complete it was, I think once you get to that level, I think the guys figured that things are pretty much built the same. Everybody kind of has the same. So then, they feel it's more on the drivers is really what I think it is. And I think locally, you still have that pocket of guys that says, well, he's got this and I don't. He's got that and I don't. And, you know, it gets more, you know, unfortunately, it kind of becomes personal. It's tough. As Chris is talking on the phone. But, you know, it was definitely a great year. You know, we've seen some really cool stuff overall. Everything good, Chris?
That was actually Jim trying to get a hold of some of the folks downstairs.
He goes,
I thought you were doing the show. I am. He goes, I'll catch up with you later.
But I just touched, I don't know if you were able to.
I caught some of it. But I did tune out once I was talking to Jim because I panicked. I thought something had gone wrong.
Oh, that's all right. But, it is what it is. I definitely think that Derby's, I think for the most part, it's going in the right way. We'll just, hopefully we can get a little bit of change here in New York. And
county fairs were fun this year. I got to go to a bunch of places I hadn't been to before. I was at Morris three times. I'd only been there once.
I was at Morris twice.
Yep, Morris three times. That was a good time. Experienced some of the oddest camera failures that weekend because there was shows the same nights and right in and around Rick's funeral that we had cameras up in Malone and we had cameras at the funeral that we were just kind of going to videotape when they did the pass down the front stretch at Walton. And that camera quit working and the one up in Malone didn't get anything, didn't save anything.
Really?
The following day in Morris, we had that same... each of those were obviously different cameras because it was two places in two different days. A third camera had the same problem in the crow's nest for the afternoon show, and it worked flawlessly that night. Todd Height was up there running, and he goes, I don't know what happened. I can't explain it. I said, nobody can. Nobody can.
Wow.
It's just one of those weird things. But
I did learn how to be a cameraman this year.
Did a good job, too.
I don't know about all that, but I took my first baby steps at that, and that was pretty cool. That was cool.
It's not as easy as it looks, is it?
I never thought it to be easy. I was to be really honest, and you know it's the truth. I was nervous about doing it because I didn't want to screw up your. I mean, you obviously do the top of the line videos, and I didn't want to screw that stuff up. So it was the first show at Black Rock, and you were getting ready to leave your house or had left your house and didn't have anybody to do it. You were by yourself and. So I'll give it a shot. I don't want to do it. I want you to do it by yourself. And I went up on the flagger stand. And
rule one, don't talk.
Yeah, rule one, don't talk, which is hard for me, as most people know. But, got up on the flagger stand. And, well, first Chris got me pulled up into the announcer's booth.
Yes.
We got to do a impromptu Crash Course podcast from the announcing booth at Black Rock, which I wasn't really.
Now known as Yates County Speedway in Dundee.
Or Black Rock or Dundee. Yes. That was a little different. I hadn't really done that before, but it all went well.
We had Dan Harpel on the 31st lap because he's now general manager of Pencan Speedway.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the process of finalizing his deal to maybe come back to Black Rock, to Yates County Speedway, maybe not. And Mike Mallett's on 31st lap with me, which is going to air this week at 11 o'clock on Wednesday, also because of the holiday schedule changes. So we had him on, and he said that he's never heard anybody get so into announcing a demolition derby. Like, he goes, you had stats, you had facts, you were telling people. Just, I've never seen anything like it. Like, I was actually engaged. It wasn't just, wow, what a big hit 27 made. Like, you knew who the drivers were. I'm like, that's it's a nice compliment. You
that's
know,
how the Raid Man does
cool.
It was impressive. It was impressive.
Well, Mike Mallett, who's the announcer for Empire Super Sprints, he's a voice at Utica Rome Speedway, yep. And he travels all over the place. He goes, what the heck?
Wasn't Mike Mallett also the pit board for my brother?
Yep, he was.
We're going to call that the curse of Mallett. I wasn't there for him, but I'm going to call it the curse of Mallett.
I know we're getting a little bit off track here, but that's kind of what this was. We're just kind of freeform it today. John King. I'll get to John King here in just a second. Have you seen it all on Facebook, the vintage 1980
oh, yeah.
modified?
Yep.
How awesome. Did you see the picture that was posted? I know it's not from the 80s, but Matt Shepard in the 44. Yellow 44, and then your brother
in the
beach
car.
Number one.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was cool. That was 2004. That was year we won Mr. Dirt. That was pretty neat. But, yeah, it was definitely cool.
So we got to come up with a vintage 1980s Demolition Derby page where it's only old pictures.
I think that would be awesome. I mean, every now and then, JC Molly has been posted pictures because he's friends with the Siopas. They're promoting a derby down in, I think it's Osceola, Florida, and he put up a picture, and it was a vintage. I mean, I'd have to guess early 70s picture, and it was a bunch of old school cars all crashing. And they said, "Remember when Demolition Derby?" Had real cars, or when they had real cars, and it was called Demolition Derby, and they weren't Vicks or something along those lines. It was pretty neat. I've seen that a couple times on Facebook. But
oh, John King. John King's wondering if I got rid of my old hat. Not exactly. not exactly, but my Boston Red Sox hat is home. And if you'll notice that let me turn it. There you go. That's green. That is green right there. I got a little bit of a Christmas present from Sleeman Designs. The Reckless Abandon hats are in, so that was cool. Excited to see that. Talked with him today. Everything is done in shipping.
Good.
And if he didn't get to the post office today, he's going to get there tomorrow. He had tons of stuff that had to get out. So should be all caught up on orders with a backlog of inventory. And within the next 2 weeks, there should be at least two new designs out. And the beanies are on order. Beanies, the knit ones, that we're going to need when we go outdoors in Minnesota. Yeah, I like those. Like those, only like, with the WA on it instead of the 39.
Do they have one for fat noggins? Because, you know, my head's kind of big. It would come in handy in Wadena, Garden City.
Yeah, they're going to be handy. they're going to be real handy. Eric Tagg, call me. He says the show's not good with only two people.
Ouch, that hurts.
So we got to get him on. Josh Buell was just filling me in. I asked for his number. We got to get a third guy in studio. I'd be happy to. Be happy to get a third guy in studio.
Would one isn't on IR and the other one isn't working?
Yes. Yeah, because he has a regular job.
He does. So do I, but it doesn't exist until January 2nd.
Yeah, how nice has this been, right?
This is very nice.
Is Crystal done with you at home?
Yes, she is. Yeah. She's ready for me to be back to work. Yep. Yep, got a little bit of... You know, a little growth going. I haven't shaved in a couple weeks, kind of like that. Pretty sure I'm going to grow my hair out so I can wear it in like a bun on top this year when we go to shows.
Like a sumo wrestler?
Yeah.
That's not a good decision.
Wouldn't that look cool, though?
No.
Really?
No, there's not one thing about that sounds like a good idea.
How about just straight ponytail?
No. First of all, your hairline stops over the top, starts over the top of your ears. It's right here.
Oh, that's
so,
not nice.
It's not going to be... You're going to look like...
I can comb it back.
Woo! You're going to be Crash Course Paul Heyman.
That would be cool.
No, it wouldn't.
I can bring the hustle.
Maybe he's right. Maybe Eric Tagg is right.
Why is Eric got to be Donner's on us, man?
I don't know. I'm trying to get his number. I don't think I have it. Let me check. Where didn't we go this year that you wanted to get to?
I would have liked to hit the bigger shows with you guys that I missed in Kentucky and Arkansas. Unfortunately, I had a birthday party for one. My wife threw me a surprise 40th. Then the other one, couldn't get off work. No, there was something else going on. But Josh
Eric also, said Eric just messaged me. He clarified. He said he needed some comic relief.
Well, I don't have anybody to pick on because I can't pick on Chris.
You can pick on me all you want.
I can't. I feel bad.
Don't have to feel bad.
But
Dan Bolton had a point, which we've done this in the past. He said, "What about rotating local drivers in from time to time?"
Absolutely. I'd love to have Dan Bolton on our show.
Dan would be great to have on the show. The problem is he lives like 2.5 hours away.
Yeah. He'd have to go to Decker's and then Decker with him.
We'd have to send a helicopter for him.
We've had a bunch of local drivers.
We have. I mean, we've had a lot of luck with local drivers coming on. I mean, last week we had Brett and Mark both in studio. I'm trying to get Eric's phone number. I'll call him quick.
Absolutely.
We got about 20 minutes left. So you want to get to some of the bigger shows?
I'd like to. I mean, you know, listening to you guys, obviously I could tell just from, you know, you guys had a rough schedule last year.
It was busy.
Yeah, you guys looked burned out on many of Mondays when you came in here to do the show. But, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to going to Bash for Cash again. I'm going to go out on a limb and say we'll probably be back in Topeka in next November. You know, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing both shows. You know, I've never been to the Keystone Nationals. Really looking forward to that, especially, you know, with the bigger pay and everything. I think it's going to bring even more of the great drivers in. Definitely looking forward to King's Old School.
King's Old School should be fun.
It'd be nice to go to the Drive for Five. That'd be cool. It's always neat to go to some place I've never been. You know, it's good to go back to places I've been, but I like going to new places. I'd really like to get to Utah. I think that'd be cool to go out there and catch a show. I know Lazenby and Decker have talked back and forth about maybe going out there for one of Lazenby's shows. So that'd be cool to do. You know, I mean, there's Ohio's kind of the mecca this way, but I think Utah is the mecca of the far west. You know, I mean, they just good shows, impressive builds, impressive hitting. You know, it'd be neat to go.
That hit on, was it TJ McPhee's wagon?
Yeah.
That ended up winning that one hit of the year with the Booze Brothers.
Yep.
Yeah. They ended up getting hit of the year. Joey Roth is a kid that I kind of came to know a little bit out there in Washington, and he ended up taking that whole thing over, and there was like 50-some entries.
No kidding.
And, yeah, it was pretty cool.
Did Tim Ellison get honored in that?
No. I don't think so.
I didn't know if he ended up.
if we get Dan Bolton, Josh Buell's going to ride up with him.
We can do that. We got enough room for four.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be five.
Easily. Yeah,
we'd have to.
There's no trouble there.
We may have to have Decker sit out in the hallway, and he could talk on a long cord. But
well, there's room enough on the couch for all of them.
I don't know about that. It'd be tight. I'm not losing my chair. I can promise you that.
No, you made that very clear.
But what are you looking forward to in 2015, Chris?
Seeing all the cars that Matt Greschel's been pulling in getting wrecked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he tagged me yesterday hauling a Buick Roundy and a 225. And I texted him today. I said, "You back to work?" He goes, "Nope, not till January 5th. He said, "More cars." I said, "What are you hauling?" He said, "Wait and see." So he's definitely got and he sent me pictures of just stuff he's brought in since like December 9th.
Yeah. And it's been nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, he's hauled in like 10 sweet cars since he's definitely. I said, "I think you have a derby car habit." He said, "Yeah, I think I do too," but he keeps hauling them in, so apparently it's, you know,
I sold my 300. That's gone. That the four-door 68 300 now is a home Buffalo, and at one point I had a 65 Imperial driver, put that in quotes because it was looked like it was put in the bottom of the Mississippi before it went to Mason City, Iowa. But in any case, I had it, and I wanted to get one. And some of the stuff that he's bringing in with the intention of derbying it, he had a couple boxcar Imperials. I was like, I would gladly take one of those, but, man, they're all going to get wrecked. They're all going to – most of them probably going to end up in New York anyway.
Yeah, I think a few of them are going to get sold. But – it's funny you brought up Imperials. Yesterday when we were down to Josh's house, he had his Imperial wagon that he ran, and then a buddy of his ran at Brookfield. And I have got such an itch to build a Imperial. just because, you know, I've ran a few Imperials, but I didn't know anything then. I mean, it wasn't like it is now.
So what would you go for? Would you still go for a full frame or would you go for a subframe car?
I think a subframe car.
Yeah.
I think a subframe car. I know a pretty experienced builder that's got a lot, but he's good with subframe or with full framers. You know, I would really like to build one.
When Josh Buell comes up, he's getting that chair. Last time you got to sit in the hippie chair, he said. Remember that old orange thing? I don't know where that ended up.
Hopefully
the burn pile.
Josh can sit over on the chair over across from me. Then behind him, we can run highlights from Waterloo through the whole night.
We could do that. We could do that. As long as there's no basketball game scheduled, we could. We're working on getting the rest of this stuff together, but we'll have the laptop here, and it can beam across.
Oh, yeah, your computer is there. That computer is there tonight that usually runs stuff.
And we can basically beam across the room to the TV, and it's got a receiver on it. So whatever we pull up on YouTube, we'll play behind us. We just basically make a Waterloo playlist and just have it on there in perpetuity for the whole show.
Perpetuity, I agree.
Forever.
I agree. Perpetuity.
Okay.
It would be cool. Yeah, I mean, definitely. It's always good to get you know, some different drivers up here and talk to them. And
they're doing a Blizzard Bash team style show out in Utah. The tags are all going to be involved with, and the tag boys are split up.
Really?
They're all on different teams to take out their dad.
Wow.
Interesting.
I've met three of the tag boys, great guys, but I think it's going to be hard to beat the old man.
He does okay, right?
Troy's and nothing against the boys' builds, but Troy's pretty close to the complete package. I think he took two or three wins out of Utah last year.
Yeah, they did pretty well out there.
And if I think it was two and the third one, maybe it was one of Troy's buddies that was there with him that won it. So, and you know, Troy, and I've said it before on Facebook, Troy Tag is like the California guy. He is so laid back and so just mellow, and you know, to talk to him, he's just always I've always seen him in a good mood. You know, I've asked him a bunch of, I'm sure he was sick of seeing my name pop up on his phone when I was building my first Cadillac, and you know, every question I had, he'd send pictures and anything else you need. This is, you know, just a great, and again, you know, he's, you know, a guy that really, you know, it's the epitome of Derby, just so helpful to me.
This summer made the Derby world feel very small.
Yeah, it did.
You know what I mean?
It did. Like,
very close-knit.
It did. It was cool, you know, and like I said, it's just so many people you've read about and heard about. You know, we got to, you know, shake hands and meet them, and, you know, it was strange having people know who I was in Derby circles like that. Got to thank Chris Marquardt for that, but, you know, it was pretty cool.
It was people that wanted us there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that was neat.
Justin Gilbarton says he gets enough comic relief just by watching you.
Everybody's got to be good at something. Comedy's my thing.
Well, I suppose we should probably do some of this first.
Yeah, I got to pay some bills, right?
Yep. We should tell people. Who should we bring up first? Want to do Winter Slam first?
Got to do Winter Slam, man. We're on the way.
That's next. Let's do that.
We'll do
Winter Slam first. We'll be back after this. Get ready for Napa Winter Slam. Napa Auto Parts will bring you the coolest outdoor derby of 2015, scheduled for February 7th at the Blue Earth County Fairgrounds in Garden City, Minnesota. Promoters Randy Maslowski and Jeremy Ertman have tons in store for the earliest outdoor derby of the year. The headline class will pay $1,500, with the compacts, 80 stock, and the event's new truck division each paying $1,000 to win. There will also be most aggressive and longest tow awards, and at this point, all classes are full with only a few vending spots remaining. In the event of weather complications, officials have booked February 14th as a reschedule date, but only if needed. So come out, dress warm, and break up your winter with a four-division derby featuring some of the top derby talent in the upper Midwest. Green flags are at 2, and Buster's Sports Bar and Grill has been locked in for the after party again this year. For more information, visit Napa Winter Slam's Facebook page or contact Randy Maslowski or Jeremy Ertman via their social media pages. Bo Lockwood Motorsports is primed for a huge 2015 season. Having expanded to include four massive shows, Bo Lockwood and his team look to change the face of demolition derby in western Pennsylvania. Their schedule opens May 9th at the Jefferson County Fairgrounds in Brookville, Pennsylvania. It will include one of the richest stock shows around, paying $5,000 to win and $400 to start. The card includes full payback lawnmowers and separate $500 to win truck and compact one-and-done events. Attention then turns to the all-new Keystone Nationals, now being hosted as a standalone event June 27th at the Westmoreland County Fairgrounds in Greensburg, Pennsylvania. The limited well division winner will pocket $10,000, and every feature starter is guaranteed $400. A 1,000 win stock event will be joined by a 1,000 win compact feature and full payback lawnmowers and the debut of the Power Wheel. The focus then goes back to Brookville, July 18th, for the 3,000 win Jefferson County Championships in Brookville, Pennsylvania, and the season concludes July 25th with a return to the Clarion County Fairgrounds in Clarion, Pennsylvania. All green flags drop at 6 p.m. and Bo Lockwood has more announcements to come, so stay tuned to Bo Lockwood and Bo Lockwood Motorsports on Facebook. And you thought last year was huge. The Bash for Cash returns to the Demolition Derby Limelight Memorial Day weekend 2015. Every bit of action is returning, and there's some more added in. DerbyParts.com is back with the 80s newer class paying $11,000 to win. DerbyTees.com is back paying the turn back the clock winner $10,000. And now the Compacts are cashing in, vying for at least $3,000 in their championship event. Action is planned for May 23rd and 24th, again at the Fayette County Fairgrounds in Washington Courthouse, Ohio. Early inspections are planned for Friday, May 22nd. For a full rundown of the schedule and divisions, visit www.smashitderby.com.
And we're back.
Helps for having me your mic, huh?
And we're back.
So you already got your Christmas tree down, you're saying?
We got it down today. And got it down, cleaned everything up, vacuumed.
You do a real one?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah? Yeah,
about 12 foot worth.
What?
Yeah, about 12. You see my living room.
Yeah?
It's got a touch of ceiling.
So would you put, like, 2 4-footers in there? 3 4-footers to get 12 feet?
It's got a touch of ceiling. We went to Wright's. Last day of shotgun season, we killed a bunch of deer, and then we went to Wright's and cut down a tree, and 12-foot tall.
Well, good for you.
Yep.
No, we do a fake one on a regular basis. It's just easier that way.
Well, you're one of them town people, too.
Yuppie, I believe is the word you use.
Yeah, you're a yuppie.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
You're a socially, you know, yuppie sort of person.
Yep. I am the dumb camera guy.
No. I'm the dumb camera guy. You're the one that knows everything. I'm a dumb camera guy.
Josh ran a camera this year.
Josh who?
Decker.
Really?
Yeah. He helped with at the Crow's Nest with one of the nights in Morris. We're there.
Oh, the first show.
Yeah. In the spring.
You're right. Yep.
At one point, I had it counted up how many different states we'd been in for derbies, and I don't remember. I think it was 9 this year.
That's crazy.
Something insane like that.
That's crazy. I was only in 3, Ohio, New York, and Kansas. Right? Yeah, New York, Kansas.
Yeah, it was 9.
That's not bad.
No, I'll take it.
That's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Spread things out a little more this year. We got
I think less is more.
Yeah. Do a little less. Knock them all out of the ballpark. And
there's a lot of stuff that I want to do. That's for sure. Stuff that I want to do.
Absolutely.
We'll see if it all comes around. To dispel a rumor, I guess there's rampant suggestion that there's problems with the Northeast Championship in Brockton, Massachusetts. I talked with Eileen Mann. There's no cause for concern right now. There's nothing suggesting otherwise that event doesn't have a home. It is still right now on schedule to be at the Brockton Fairgrounds. It's still going to happen the same time frame that it has every year. There's no reason for that rumor to permeate any further.
I haven't heard a word. There was some
discussion about the grounds and the future of the grounds and what was going to happen to the area where that fairgrounds was. In terms of that being fact or fiction, I can't say. But in terms of the event being held there this year, right now, it's on schedule and it's going to happen still at the Brockton Fairgrounds in Massachusetts. Northeast Championship still on pace to happen the way that it was planned to. So hopefully any of the guys listening out in the New England area that were wondering about that they can put their concerns to rest.
Yeah, I hadn't heard anything about that.
No.
Nope, no, I hadn't.
You going to try and make it out to that?
When is it?
First week of July. Last week of June, and then the following first week of July.
I have to see what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, have to see what's up.
See what Gary's schedule is for the modified?
I don't know. I haven't helped that too much the last few years. Having the two boys at home, that's kind of, they definitely have the number one spot for my time. So We'll see what happens.
It's one of the reasons why we do so many overnight trips the way that we do. Derby ends, we try to make it back home, and yeah, it's crazy, but it gives us that extra little bit of time at home instead of staying in the hotel. And
we discussed that a little bit yesterday, though. It almost sounded like maybe we were gonna try to get some sleep and then drive home from a few of the shows.
Yeah, and that's certainly understandable.
The Bash for Cash ride home last year was long.
That was a long ride.
That was.
We had a lot of stops. Yeah. We had a lot of stops on the way home.
Yeah, we go from making record time going out. And we weren't even pushing it.
No.
But we picked up Vern Hu and Josh rode back with us because they'd rode out with Brett and had some car problems. And we gave them a ride back, and it just everybody was just whooped. I mean, I think that was the first time I'd seen Chris sleep that weekend is when we got in the van finally.
Yeah.
And you know, he slept for a while, and I did some sleeping until Vern scared the shit out of me.
I felt terrible about it, too. Yeah, I try as hard as I can to, yeah.
But it was a great year. I mean, you know, when you sent me a text or said, hey, what do you think about this? And I said, yeah, I think that'd be neat. I mean, I never in my wildest dreams figured it would turn into what it has. I mean, you know, I definitely think as four, you know, Derby guys, you know, we've worked hard for it, but you know, to a point, we've also been blessed, you know, to have the stuff, you know, happen that has, and you know, is continuing to be happening. And you know, I mean, the go where we've gone and see what we've seen and met who we've met, it's an incredible year, I'd say.
Scratch the surface this year, I think. I mean, from where we started with this in August of 2013, four to take off and include Blizzard Bash 2013, and then for this year, 2014 to go the way that it did was awesome. You know, we're real fortunate to have the support of a lot of people and a lot of promoters believe in what we're working on and what we're working towards. And now we're going to start all over again, back at the beginning, back at ground zero, back with the learning process as we get ready to roll out the pay-per-view stuff coming up for the following year. And we've mapped out a modest schedule with the intentions of it being a modest schedule. We don't want to do 70 pay-per-views through the course of the summer. There's no need for that. It's not a – and we've got some other little Easter eggs that are in the work too that'll be a lot of fun for a lot of people. So make sure you keep your eyes on the Facebook page and keep tuning back here for the announcements as those develop.
I think less is going to be more this year. You know, make sure we do it well, give the Derby fan what they deserve. You know, I mean, everybody works hard for their money. I mean, when they hit the buy button, I want them to have the best experience possible. I want them to not have things lagging and not have black screens and, you know, take our time, do it right, make sure we
not have steering wheels show up in place with Brian Tompkins' forehead.
That stink.
Or SS wheels. That happened tonight.
Yeah, that did. But that was free, so it happened here, so we're good there. But, you know, we definitely want our pay-per-view to be, you know, the top of the line. And, you know, we plan on striving to do that because we want to give the Derby fan what they deserve and, you know, try to get the Derby drivers and the Derbies out there. So I think 2015 is going to be a great year.
It's going to be a busy year. It's going to be a full year.
If you've liked this year, keep watching.
Yeah.
It's only going to get better.
It's a sign of things to come. But, you know, I appreciate your help. You've been here since day one, and I don't think you've ever missed a show in terms of the studio, other than maybe one or two for football.
You know, I've missed a couple work nights. I had to work doubles or something, but it's great. Like I said, you know, when you mentioned it to me, I was all for it. You know, and again, I've said it a million times. I just said it. You know, I want to thank you. You know, for me, you know, who go from knocking windows out in my dad's, you know, garage to going Blizzard Bash and having people know me my name. It's really been surreal, you know, and you know, the fan support that the show has is amazing. You know, thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you guys so much for supporting us.
That's why we've been able to do it 64 times. Yeah. Episode 64.
Yeah, it really is. It's amazing. You know, I don't take any of this for granted. I'm so happy. You know, every time I, you know, every time Chris, you know, we get done and, or when Chris has a computer, you know, he says there's 100 people watching or 50 people watching. It's great. I truly, truly appreciate the support and, you know, keep going. We're going to keep doing our best and try to bring you guys more in the future.
Very well said.
Thank you.
Well said.
I've been practicing that for all of like 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you really, I mean, you've shown a lot of growth in terms of being on the microphone and getting better and studying up and knowing who's coming on and what we're looking at and things like that. So I thought that was well done for the year. And boy, we're struggling a little bit at home trying to get all these parts and pieces that we need to have in line to get them to work right. We've had a couple of people that have been doing some testing for us here on the backside. We'll get it straightened out, and 2015 is going to be a fun one.
And of course, you know, Chris and I have kind of, you know, we've touched on, that doesn't sound right, we've mentioned each other here, but also, you know, Josh and Ben, you know, we abuse Josh a lot and we bust his balls, but Josh really does have a heart of gold. He loves the sport. All he wants to do is to see it get bigger and bigger. And he's put a lot of time and effort and, you know, into the show and into the success, and it's great. And, you know, Ben started a little bit later, but the technical side that Ben brings is second to none. I mean, there is nothing that we have seen or, you know, parts, inspection, builds. There's nothing that we've seen that Ben hasn't been able to explain to us and explain to a T. You know, two great guys, very, very big assets. And, you know, on behalf of Chris, you know, I am really thankful that, you know, we have each other as a team, and they add so much. And, you know, I miss having Josh here every week so I can pick on him like the little brother. But, you know, he's obviously busy, and it is a two-hour drive for him every week. Right. So, you know, Ben's healing. Hopefully we can get him back here in the next week or two if he's feeling up to it. But, again, two huge assets to the show. And I really appreciate, you know, I really appreciate those guys and what they do for us.
Well, you know, by all means, we appreciate everything those guys do. The contributions are you know, they're endless. Really, you know, in terms of the knowledge that Ben's been able to pass on to us on the live shows. And then, you know, Josh, you know, being, you know, very much the personality that he brings to the show. It's a good mix. Good mix and good team. And I look forward to a lot of good things to come. This is going to be a lot of fun as we end 2014 and roll into all the new adventures that 2015 is going to bring. Had a note here real quick just before we sign off. I don't think that note was meant for me. All right. So,
whoops.
I'm not 100% sure what happened there. But I think that's going to do it for us. Episode number 64 in the books. We'll see you in 2015. Coming up at 6 o'clock, the FingerLakes1.tv live streams of the basketball games are going to be coming up. I think this is going to be one of the Waterloo Minders games, I believe. I'm trying to find it on the schedule over there on the wall. I don't remember 29th. What it was. Yep, it's going to be one of the Waterloo games. I think they're up in North Rose tonight. So, basketball coming up. Stay tuned. Appreciate everybody. Have a great new year. Merry Christmas to everybody who we forgot last week. And have a great new year. Be safe. And we will see you next time on the Crash Course. Thanks a lot. Whoops, that didn't work.
Come on, Chris. Yep. There you go.